final question for us. We've talked a little bit about, you know, problems, some issues that we've had, some problems of market, of culture. This is a simplified question because it has the word simple in it, but what are some simple preventative measures organizations can take to avoid some common DevOps problems?
Yeah, well, let me start at the top here, because one of the things I didn't actually get to haven't mentioned yet really is this whole issue of application design. So, you know, we talked about culture earlier, but in the application design space, this is an absolutely critical activity, and in fact, this is something you do before you even, you know, start, you know, coding. And I think many organizations probably grossly underestimate the importance of good application design. And I think in nowadays, with, you know, where we are with containerization and microservices, the whole notion of really good design is actually even more important than it has been in the past. So, and what in working with consultants that, you know, are deeply involved in helping support application development at big industry, what I have heard is that up to 50% of a project's time for successful projects should be spent in design, which is huge. Yeah. You know, in the reality, it's huge, right? Everybody wants to jump into code because they're thinking, okay, we can get work done. You know, that's a good thing, right? They're very anxious to get going. But the reality is that if you have good design in this day and age, first of all, that good design is going to surface through prototyping and through reviews, you know, on the UI and UX type issues. It's going to surface where you have, you know, problems. And you're going to get those problems resolved way at the front end of the whole software development lifecycle, and not at the back end where it's going to cost you a fortune, both time and money. So that's why good design is so important. The other thing that you get from it, especially given in the microservices environment that we live in today, is that if you have, you know, good, you know, good small components that you have built, okay, are designed for your application, is comprised of lots of small components, you have the ability during the coding phase to be able to run in parallel, build all these components in parallel, because you already know how they're going to interface with one another. So that's not the issue. The issue is simply, okay, so now that we've designed the application, how do we get it built quickly? And as I said, you know, once you, with lots of components, not only are these components small, so they're easy to build fast, but at the same time, you can build them in parallel, and once the application gets deployed, you can maintain it much easier because the components are less, you know, there's less that can happen, you know, and go wrong with the component. So I think that's, yeah, that to me is kind of the most important space, the important sort of issue to remember when it comes to, you know, really smart DevOps application development.
Yeah, it's really interesting, the application architecture point of view. I, more than once I've been asked, is microservices DevOps? And I think that speaks to kind of the market education out there, because microservices, it really has, it is less to do with releases and getting code out faster than it has to do with architecting your application to be many small autonomous units. So I think there's a lot of misunderstanding of the implications on architecture. I'm going to go, just for fun, I'm going to go on the complete other end of the spectrum of one of the things that I think a lot of people probably wouldn't say to you in person that they're doing, but the reality has been different. And they actually relate to each other, because a good architecture relates to quality. But I'm going to talk at the very end of the delivery chain. Or if you're a firm believer in how iterations work, there is no end. But most people treat the end of the delivery chain as the point when you do testing and quality assurance. And even though quality is a key tenet of DevOps, it is a severely neglected category. And from what I've seen is that people are more accepting of technical debt than they are spending the effort and the energy in doing proper test automation, making sure that their code coverage is not just complete, but it's effective, because it's very easy to write tests that have 100% code coverage. You just follow a system, but is it actually benefiting the organization? Because where I see DevOps falling apart is when people only think about DevOps is the big green go button. So if you think about you go and buy a Ferrari, the reason you buy a Ferrari is because it's really fast. But what happens when that speed makes you spin out and run into a tree? And that's where eventually, if organizations don't prepare for better quality, for better test automation, if they're doing canary releases, the ability to roll back very quickly to a previous version and address the issues, then it's not going to sustain. I don't care how amazing your delivery chain is. It's not going to last. And eventually, you're just going to go back into the shadows and say, either DevOps did not work for us, or we're going to just kind of go back to this quote-unquote agile, which is most often really fast waterfall. So I think I'm going to go on that spectrum. I think that's one of the biggest issues.
Yeah, let me just pile on here for a second on the whole issue of test. I totally agree with you, Chris. I think testing is a very important activity in the chain, and it's typically doesn't get the attention that it deserves. What's really fascinating, though, is that when you think about testing, approaches to testing these days, especially load testing, for instance, load testing is essentially the poster child for cloud-based infrastructure, because you can spin up what you need, you can do the tests, and you can then kind of knock it all down. If you're doing this in on a public cloud service provider, you don't have to own anything. You're just going to use it for however long you need it. So it feels to me like there are good answers to how to deal with testing.
Yeah,
it's just a question of I don't think there's the appreciation out there yet for the thoroughness of the testing and completeness of the testing that needs to get done.
Yeah, and actually on the functional testing side, so in the same vein, a little bit different, because this one, functional testing, has a much bigger resource implication, and most organizations still rely on manual testing, but the power of Selenium and the scripting tools out there to execute in the cloud services to execute on functional testing is just remarkable. But a lot of organizations don't give that department due credit and don't bring on technical people. The testing team tends to be non-technical, and so they're not able to embrace these technologies.